We're in Matthew chapter 7 for the gospel reading as we continue with the Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 7, verses 1 through 11. And Jesus said this, "Do not judge so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged. And the measure you give will be measured you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your own eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them underfoot and turn and maul you. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, this morning I want to continue with the series on the Sermon on the Mount, and I want to think about this passage under the heading of the Father's Children. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. Any race fans here? It's Indy 500 weekend. Yeah, it's not blocked out for the first time in 60 years, so you can sit in front of the TV and watch it real time. I heard about this guy by the name of Bob, and Bob received a free ticket to the Indy 500 from his company. And unfortunately, when Bob got to the race, he found that his seat was in the very last row. He felt like he was closer to the Goodyear blimp than he was to the track. And so he was boarding that, but he had a pair of binoculars, and so he's looking. And as he was looking, he saw this seat that was about 10 rows from the front of the track. And he couldn't believe it. It was empty for most of the time. And so about halfway through the race, he made his way down, and it was on turn four. And so he sat down next to this gentleman and next to the empty seat, and he said, "Excuse me, is anyone sitting here?" And the man said, "No." And he was so excited, so he sat down next to him, and so he said, "This is incredible. Who in their right mind would have a seat like this at Indy 500 and not use it?" And the man replies, "Well, actually, the seat belongs to me. I was supposed to come with my wife, but she passed away. This is the first Indy 500 that we've not seen together since we were married since 1967. The man says, "Well, but I mean, couldn't you find someone else to take the seat, a friend or a relative?" And he said, "No, they're all at the funeral." So I don't know how big of a race fan you are, but in any case, what are the most important things in life? As we go through this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus lays out a lot of first things for us. And I said before, this is Jesus' first sermon, and it's the most lengthy discourse of teaching that Jesus gives in the New Testament, that's found in the New Testament. It was given on the Mount of Beatitudes, about a four-mile stretch that slopes up into a mountain. Now there's a little chapel there, and it slopes down into the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. And it was a beautiful, it still is, a very beautiful section of the world. And Jesus first tells the people that are there. Now remember that Jesus has gone through the Beatitudes, and then he's talked about going the second mile, and then he's given the Lord's Prayer, and then he's talked about this section that really talks about seeking God first. And then Jesus lays out these interesting words. Now the first thing is to judge not, to don't judge. So listen again what Jesus says, "Do not judge so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged. And the measure you give will be measured that you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye." Now, when Jesus says this about not judging, Jesus is talking about the attitude of the scribes and the Pharisees. They were very hypocritical, and you probably remember the time when Jesus was at the home of Simon the Pharisee, and while Jesus was there, this woman of ill repute came in, and with sort of tears of mourning, she anointed Jesus' feet with this precious perfume, and they began to scorn Jesus and say, "Well, if he was really a prophet, then he'd know what kind of woman this was." And Jesus turned to them and said, "Do not push her aside. She's doing a beautiful thing. In other words, she was having a change of heart and a change of life. They were being hypocritical, and they didn't anoint Jesus. They didn't honor Jesus. And Jesus is saying, this is a hypocritical attitude. Now, Jesus isn't saying it's wrong to have judgments in a courtroom. It isn't wrong to sort of make discernments about life. But Jesus is saying it's wrong to have this holier-than-thou kind of attitude, this hypocritical attitude and action towards other. And when you think about that for a moment, I mean, have you ever known someone that was sort of critical? They had the log in their own eye, and they're worried about the speck in your eye and your life, and you wonder about that. The Native Americans have a great saying, which I love. You should walk a mile in a person's moccasins before you judge them. And if you think about that in your own life, many times people are going through things that we have no idea about what the struggles they are that are facing. Sometimes they're barely making it through, and we can't see that. We don't know the history of their family. We don't know the history of the struggles they have, and so we're not sympathetic. But it says this in Samuel 16:7, 1 Samuel 16:7, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And you also notice there's sort of a boomerang effect. Does anyone know anyone who's ever thrown a boomerang correctly? I got one and I tried to use it and it didn't work well. The neighbors sort of can attest to that. But they throw it, and if you're really good at it, not only does it come back, but people can catch it. And it's amazing. But Jesus says there's a boomerang effect to our judgment. In other words, the way in which we judge others will come back to us. Sort of a boomerang effect to that. But Jesus doesn't say that we're not to have sort of a discerning wisdom. So listen to what he goes on to say. He says this: do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Now, this is sort of a cryptic, mysterious section of Scripture. First of all, it's a kind of poetry, which is sort of A prime, if you're a poetry person. But so what it goes is the first goes with the last, and the middle goes with each other. So do not give what is holy to dogs, or they will turn and tear you to pieces, and do not cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet. So it's a kind of Near Eastern poetry. But more important, Jesus is saying in this that we're supposed to have actions that are discerning of others. And let me just explain that for a moment. And the first thing is this prohibition to not give what is holy to dogs refers to Leviticus 22. And in there, there's a prohibition that you would take what is holy meat offered on the altar and give it to wild dogs. Now, I mean, that seems like a pretty profane thing to do. But you also remember, too, that in this part of the world, there's bands of wild dogs, and they could actually turn and attack a person. And then Jesus says this about not casting your pearls before swine. It's helpful to remember that in this time in the world, the most valuable gem that there was a pearl. And it's also interesting that the pearl is a unique gem in all the world, in the sense that most gems require craftsmen. So if there's a diamond, the craftsman has to very carefully and skillfully cut the diamond, and other jewels are that way too. But a pearl is best in its unfinished form. In fact, if a human hand touches or scratches or cuts a pearl, then its value is almost nothing. And so it's sort of a beautiful picture of what is holy and sacred before God. And I think what Jesus is saying here is don't take the most sacred things in your life and just throw them out before people who don't care anything about it. In other words, have some wisdom and discernment about life. Have some timing and some placement. So in one sense, Jesus says don't judge others, but on the other hand, Jesus is saying, listen, be discerning about what is truly holy in your life. Keep what is holy, holy and sacred in your life. And so there's a kind of wisdom that Jesus is asking for us. And so as children of God, we're to be those who don't have a holier-than-thou attitude or a hypocritical attitude or a critical attitude, but we're also supposed to be discerning people. So discerning. And then the other thing is, as children of God, we're supposed to have good pursuits. And Jesus goes on to say this: ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Is there anyone among you who, if their child asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask? Think for a moment about God and our image of God. What's your image of God? I mean, some people have this image of God as sort of this disciplinarian father that scolds and waiting for us to do something wrong, or a God who always says no to all the fun things in life. But if you think about that passage that Bob read from Deuteronomy, this promise of going forward to the land that Moses was repeating to the people just before they went across the Jordan River, and Joshua was going to lead them to victory, and how God was going to bless them. And God asked really one thing, that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, and all of our strength. Something that Jesus repeated. And here, again, Jesus gives this picture of this loving father after he's talking about being wise and being caring. And it reminds me of a verse I love in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13, one of my favorite verses. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord." Think about that for a moment, about God giving good things. And you know, if you're like me, sometimes we do pray for things that aren't good for us, right? I mean, we don't realize that till down the road, but God has the discernment himself as our Heavenly Father to know what's good for us and what's not. And Jesus adds this. He says, "If your son asks for a fish, will you give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give your Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" You know, we're not all-knowing, even though we feel that we're that way sometimes. But if you think back on your life and you live long enough, we've all prayed for some things that probably weren't the best things in our life. And God knows which gifts to give and which not to give, just like a parent does. I mean, how many times as a parent you have a child come to you and they ask for something and you know that that could get them in trouble, or they're not the right age, it's not the right time, and you wait and you discern for that. So Jesus is saying that our Heavenly Father wants to give us good things. We need to get in tune with the Heavenly Father. And he gives these three verbs, and they're verbs, so they're things that we can do. They're action verbs: ask, seek, and knock. And if you look at them closely, they're also progressive: ask, seek, and knock. And I just want to take a moment and look on that, and also to realize that they're also in the continuative tense, which is hard for us in English. So it's actually to keep on asking, to keep on seeking, and to keep on knocking. And so Jesus is saying, first of all, that if we ask, then we will receive. And for a moment, think about in your own life, or the things that you share with God, that your dreams of life. I mean, that God would have us dream great dreams that honor him. God would have us use the gifts and talents that we have and match those with the needs in the world. And you think for a moment about the people in the Bible and how they had great dreams. And we think about Joseph's great dream. And we think about Moses, who had a dream of freeing the Israelites from slavery. And we think about Esther, who had a great dream of freeing her people from the oppression. And we think about Paul, who had a dream of taking the gospel to the Gentiles. And so Jesus is saying, ask that what may be given to you. So asking is sort of knowing the heart of God, looking at our gifts and talents, and then there's the second thing, which is seeking. Now, seeking is asking plus action. You know, sometimes in our life, we ask for something, but we're not willing to act. And so when we think about seeking, those who seek will find. We have to be willing to seek and to step out in action. The great reformer Martin Luther said this: pray as if everything depends on God, then work as if everything depends on you. So you can't just pray, you've also got to work. In other words, there's actions that follow faith. And if you think for a moment about the great people of faith, they all had actions. They all took a step of faith. And Moses was willing to take a step of faith and go before Pharaoh. Esther was willing to take a step of faith and go before the king. Paul was willing to exercise his faith and put his life on the line through great journeys on the sea and on the land to share the gospel. So Jesus said, seek and you will find. And then the third thing Jesus says is to knock and the door will be open. And knocking is asking plus action plus attitude. Asking plus action plus attitude. So it's keep on knocking. And if you knock on a door, especially if you know someone is home, then you expect the door to be opened. And how do we do that in life? I think it takes some discipline to keep on knocking. And Jesus isn't saying, well, God is just sort of this magician. When you ask for something, something's going to happen. Like a good parent. I mean, many times a child comes to us and asks us for something that's good, and maybe the timing's not right, or we know if we just give them something without them working for it, they're not really going to appreciate it. And so there's this aspect that Jesus is saying is, as good children of God, God wants you to have good things, just keep your priorities right, love and serve God with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our strength, but we also have things that we need to do that will stretch us, help us to grow, and use our gifts and talents in all of life. And so as you're thinking about this great Sermon on the Mount, and thinking, how does it connect with the previous? I think it fits well with this passage from Deuteronomy, which is one of the most important passages in all the Bible. The children of Israel have been freed from slavery. They wandered through the wilderness, and now Moses is sort of giving their commencement address. He's telling them what the most important things in life, and he reviews all these things. He's about ready to go through the Ten Commandments, but Moses is saying, listen, when you get to the place where you're prosperous and when you feel good about yourself, remember that God has blessed you with all these things, that God loves you. But the most important thing is not only for you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength, but pass that on to your children. Treat them in the right way so they'll honor the first things in life. And Jesus is saying, listen, you need to learn not to be hypocritical and judgmental, but you need to be wise and discerning in all of life. But most importantly, go before your Heavenly Father as children of God, trusting God that God loves you. God's given you these gifts and talents. God wants what's best in your life. But you have some things that you need to do too. You need to learn to ask. You need to ask for great dreams that use the gifts and talents you've been given. And you need to trust God is willing to give that. And then you need to seek. So seeking is being able to ask and then put action behind it. And Jesus is saying, listen, you have a part to play in all this. Like great children that learn sort of their mother or father's job and place in life, they have to exercise and stretch their gifts and talents. And then finally, Jesus is saying, you need to knock and keep on knocking. And if you do, the door will be open. Some things we can't open, but God can only open, but we have a job which is knocking. So that knocking aspect is the asking plus action plus the right kind of attitude. And if we do that, then our lives will be changed. Think for a moment in the Bible about the great people of faith, how they believed God but were willing to take action and keep on believing and taking action. Remember Abraham and Sarah, they were willing to pull up stakes and go to a place they didn't know about and keep on moving for God. You think about Joseph, who had a dream, and Joseph had to keep pursuing that dream even though he was put in prison and had countless kinds of challenges and adversity that he faced. And we think about Moses, who had to face challenge and adversity but believe God against every challenge and adversity that he faced. And then there's Esther, who had this dream and was willing to risk her life and go before the king and to plead for the life of the people of Israel. And we think about Paul, who was willing to pursue great things and challenge and adversity. And even today, we think about Martin Luther King Jr., how he's able to have a dream for equality and justice and willing to put his life on the line that we could have a better life and justice and peace. In closing, I want to think about this. Bill Hybel said that every prayer and every believer's prayer is heard and answered by God. And he puts it in a great way. He says, if the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If you are wrong, God says grow. But if the request is right, the timing is right, and you are right, God says go. I want to do that again because I think that really crystallizes a lot of things. If the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If you are wrong, God says grow. But if the request is right, and the timing is right, and you are right, God says go. Today, I think God would have us to understand that we're children of God, children that are blessed of God, children that are touched by God in powerful ways, and we need to go before the Lord and to ask for great dreams that touch people's lives, to use our gifts and talents to set goals and to serve God and to serve others, but there's actions that is required from us. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious Lord, on a beautiful holiday weekend, we think about how you've blessed us with so many gifts. You've blessed us with a beautiful world and a life that is full of wonder, miracles that we so often don't appreciate. We forget to realize that you're a loving parent. You've blessed us with all these gifts. But you want us to also have dreams that are our own and are blessed by you. Dreams that use the gifts and talents and life that we have to the best of our ability. Help us to tune our lives into yours. Help us to learn to ask for things that are good for us and good for others. Help us not only to ask, but to be willing to strive for those, to seek after those great dreams, and to put actions behind our wishes. And help us to have the right attitude, Lord. Help us to realize that it takes persistence to fulfill a dream. It takes persistence to accomplish great things. But if we team up with you, and your Spirit empowers us, and your Word leads us and guides us, there's nothing that we can't accomplish for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name, amen.